All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. And good to be with you all. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14, just to begin with. Start in verse 12 after we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask you to help us be faithful to you, to bring glory and honor to you. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. God, that you'd help us to be like you. Lord, we just again thank you. Lord, we ask that you'd give us wisdom as we open your words. Help us apply it to our hearts. Again, fill us with your Spirit and help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Appreciated the devotion and the songs. What I want to talk about this morning is to be the measure of a man. That's what I want to talk about. I want to just go here. We'll start here in verse 12. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, who rose up in the morning? He who sends all the nations is crushed to the earth. For you said in your mind, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will place my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit on lofty mountains, on the lofty mountains towards the north. I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High.' But now you shall ascend to Hades, to the foundations of the earth." I want to just point out here that this is talking about Satan, how his desire was to ascend to the highest and to take the place of God and be in control of all things. That was his desire. That is his desire. You know, a lot of times whenever we think of Satan, it's a fearful thing that we're afraid of. You know, when we see this, here it is. It's talking about how he's ascending to the Most High, a powerful angel. I want to read on here in verse 15. "But now you shall descend to Hades, to the foundation of the earth." In verse 16, it says, "Those who see you will marvel at you, and they will say, 'This is the man who greatly upset the earth and who shook kingdoms, who made all the inhabited world a desert. He destroyed its cities and did not set free those in captivity. All the kings of the nations sleep in honor, every man in his house. But you shall be cast forth on the mountains like a loathsome dead person.'" We'll just stop right there. All the people of the earth, whenever eternity comes and we stand before the Lord in judgment, those who see you will marvel at you. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. You know, when all things are revealed and God exposes things as they really are and we see them as they are, the Bible says all those that look upon him, on Satan, will marvel and say, "That's the one we were afraid of? That's the one that held all the power in the earth, that shook the kingdoms, that destroyed the world, that did all these things. It was that little guy. That's the way I see it. You know, it's just like they marveled. And I think we're going to look and see, you mean that was what I was afraid of? You mean that's the one that kept me in fear? You mean he's the one that shaped the whole world? That it fell after him? It says they all marveled at how an insignificant little person did all of that. Whenever we stand before the Lord and the Lord exposes all things and we see things as they really are, people are going to look back and say, that was the devil. He wasn't Mr. Cool. He wasn't this Mr. Powerful man that we think about, or this great being. He's just a little bitty fella that's going to be cast out on the mountains like a dead body. Nothing. You know, we kind of think that Satan, you know, it's kind of the tendency that Satan is in control of hell. And it's his domain, and whoever goes there is just going to be suffer at his hands. But he's going to be the lowest one there. I mean, God is just. He's not going to give him power to be a king over his own realm. You know, people will be bound and be tormented by all kinds of things, but he's not going to have any power in hell. People are going to look at him and think, that's the one that we were afraid of? It was just kind of a thought I had. It's just amazing how often that we think, you know, so that he's so big and so powerful. But his head is crushed, and he's really nothing in the first place. And it's amazing how, you know, whenever we look at that with mankind, with ourselves, you know, how often things aren't as they appear to be. Appreciated the thoughts about how short our time is. And our space here on this earth is just a little while. You know, Floyd talked about being 30. Well, I'm over 60. I mean, you think about it, and I just think back, you know, it just seems like, how in the world did it get this far all of a sudden? And I've heard people talk about that. And as they got older, they just couldn't hardly believe it. And that's the way it is. One of the things I've also heard some of the older people say and talk about was how, you know, it didn't get any easier as they got older. A lot of times when you're young and you see your little problems and you worry about things, and you think, well, and you look at the older people and you think, well, they've just got it made. They don't have to worry about any of that. But things don't change. You know, we are what we are all the way through. And whether we think that our life is going to get easier because we get older, or the struggles or the temptations. But I'm just going to tell you, they don't. You know, that it doesn't. The conflict and the battle just keeps raging. You know, we have an idea that we're going to get to some level or get to some place that we just don't have problems anymore, and we're just going to coast. Well, it doesn't ever get, you won't ever get there if you keep living. If you stay in the battle, you'll never get there. I think there's people that get there because they've checked out of the battle, and so there isn't any battle anymore, hardly. They just kind of coast along, go to church, and play the same old role and same old game. And there's no war going on in with this little guy. There's no battle raging. They're just kind of coasting. I've told people, you know, one man that was kind of come out of the world, and we spent a lot of time together, and he would look at a lot of the people in church, the plain people. He would just see them, and he said, "Man, they're just coasting. They're not fighting any battles. They've got everything they need. They go to church. They put on this little religious front, and they're just coasting right along." And he said, "Oh, I just want to coast." And I just told him, I said, "You'll never be able to do that and be faithful. We're in an uphill battle. We're in a war. And even though we'll look back and see how small a guy we were really fighting, he's got everyone else in the world duped to think that he is powerful. And that in itself gives him his power. Because everybody believes it. You know, if everybody believes a lie, even though it's a stinking little lie, if everybody believes it, it becomes a powerful thing, even though it's actually nothing. And that's the way the world operates, and that's the way the thing goes. And that's Satan's whole deal, is perpetuating thoughts and things into your mind that just grow and grow and get more powerful. And then we begin to believe it. Just like we believe that we ought to be afraid of the devil. In reality, he is nothing. It's only when we give him that power and that control of us that he takes it. It's because we've given it to him. And that's why Jesus is, he defeated him. He's nothing. And if we are in this battle, in this war, we're going to be fighting all of our lives to the very last breath we take. Like I said, we look forward a lot of times. The world looks forward to a time when they can retire and just take it easy. You know, I've said before, I've just watched men that fought all their lives to become rich and powerful. And they just, or sometimes people are just living until the time they turn 65 or whatever, they can retire so that they can live a few years of ease and then wind up in a nursing home somewhere and having some little teenager controlling every aspect of your life just haphazardly whenever they want to. You're under their control now. And you can't say anything about it. And then you die. And face. But the problem is, most people are living for that little space of time when they think they can take it easy. And it's just an illusion. If you even get to that little area where you could start taking it easy, there's no place to take it easy. Sometimes we have to slow down a little bit, but the battle's still there. We're still in a war. We're still fighting. You know, a lot of times we are caught up in these delusions that people paint about themselves. Satan is painted about himself. And they are all delusions, you know. I've just thought about the things that we see or we portray. You know, a lot of times you see someone just women that have got to paint themselves up or got to do something to make themselves feel beautiful. You know, and some of them wind up maybe even have the best appearance that the world could would be thinking that they're sought after. And everyone just looks upon them as a thing of beauty. But a lot of times the motive and the very thing that's driving them to that, to put off that appearance, is the ugliness that's inside them. They feel ugly about themselves. And so they have to portray an image that everyone else thinks they're beautiful. This is how the devil operates. And just like him, he's this big, powerful, controls all things. And then when we actually see him in eternity, we're going to look and say, that's the one? And people that are, a lot of these people that appear so beautiful on the outside, whenever it's all stripped back and we see how ugly it really is. And all this beauty and all this glamour was just this fake appearance, to the point just like that, to where we'll look and say, ew, that thing that I thought was so beautiful was that so ugly? You know, people that are powerful, full of strength, and they just portray this, a lot of times it's because they're weak inside. And so they have to have this dominion over other people. I mean, we see this in the world today, this desire for dominion. Just someone says something out of line, or they say something that isn't political correct, and all of these little people have all this power to say, you have to apologize for that. You should apologize for that. So they force this person into an apology that is meaningless. There's no heartfelt desire of any apology. It's meaningless. But these little people are forcing, because they're so small, that's the only power they have, is to try to force someone else to apologize for what they've said or what they've done. And their strength comes from being so little inside. Just a little person. And the only power they have is to force someone else into an apology, so they can feel bigger about themselves. All of this pressure, this political pressure to say and do all the right things, is driven by a bunch of little bitty people. Little bitty, teeny tiny people that get their sense of existence from being able to force somebody else to do something. People that are, they're in powerful positions, or people that are bullies. You know, they look tough, but all they're doing is covering up how little they really are inside. They're scared to death. There's no courage. There's no strength. They're putting on a big old front. And one of these days, when it's all revealed, we'll look at them and say, you mean that was that guy that controlled the whole world, that killed all those people, that did all those things? Look how little he really was. Measuring up a man. All these people that have to be successful before they can be happy. A lot of times their drive to be happy, or that appearance to be happy, is driven because there's nothing but misery inside. And when all these things are revealed and all these things that are gone, and we can look and we see how ugly and small and miserable that is, and we see the true measure of a man. It wasn't all the fluff, all the stuff that people believed. It's actually who that person actually is. And on the other hand, someone that, you know, they might not have all of those things that the world thinks so highly of. They might not be that person that should be respected and looked up to in the world. They're just kind of cast aside, kind of like Jesus. You know, he wasn't trying to impress anybody. He was just being. And, you know, the more we try to imitate the world or Satan, the more we become like him in our endeavor. And the more it will be revealed how little we really were. But the more we become and try to be like Jesus, he was despised, rejected, thought little of. But yet, when that's all revealed, you mean this guy that was spit upon and beat up and crucified, the loser? And it's all, and all that's revealed, and we see he was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God, all powerful, creator of all things. You see how the different things look? Instead of a little soul, a little person, it is immense. Going the other way. And that's how we can be. We don't have to pretend to be something we're not. The closer we are to being what we really are and becoming like God, you know, the less it may appear to the world. But the bigger we become in our souls. That's the glorious thing that what people see or imagine, most of that's just made up anyway. It's what we are. You know, instead of pursuing a lot of those things that may have the puffed up glory of the world that will be deflated to nothing, if we just be what we need to be and be what strive to be like God. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple verses in the first part of the chapter. Chapter 2 says, "For you yourselves know full well," "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." It's going to change like a thief in the night. Saying peace and safety. Got all our hope in all of this fluff. And then it'll all be gone. Just like that. Verse, and then I'm going to skip over here. Verse 14 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." Just some hard things You know, it sounds pretty easy, but it's the opposite of being someone of power or something. You know, a lot of times this is talking about being, just begin, read verse 12, start over there. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. You know, I grew up and with having pastors and preachers, hearing preachers, hearing revivalists and evangelists. And you know, you see this where it says to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. My idea and my image of a preacher, and it seemed like the more esteemed the preacher was, is the angrier he was. You know, I don't know how many times I've listened to men preach, and after they've just raged about something for a while, getting almost the more hyperventilated they get when they speak, and they when the message is over, you hear them talking, "Boy, I was filled with the Spirit tonight." Just exactly opposite of what this is talking about, of someone to admonish, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. It's just almost the opposite of that. And just like all of the fluff that measures someone. You know, like I said, it's whenever we look at Jesus and Him talking to the people, the brethren, there's patience, there's peace, there's grace, there's mercy. You know, it wasn't until He was arguing with the Pharisees that He didn't have much patience for, enough grace, the religious people. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. See, this is how you become a big soul. There's not a lot of fluff with it. There's not a lot of way up here to measure a soul. The measure of a man is whenever there's not a lot of this, but there's a lot over here. A lot of big. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. You know, we were talking about this morning a little bit about people that were complaining about how nations have been. Just, you know, people complain about how some nations are prosperous and some people rise above and do better. You know, and people just can't stand that. Envious. We see it in all walks of life, that people are just looking at someone that's done better or been more successful, and they look at them and they just despise them. And envy grows, and they begin to hate it. Seen it in churches. Someone, you know, that speaks a little bit better than someone else, or someone that becomes a leader or something, and people that don't get that high, they sit back and they just try to figure out a way to bring them down. people can't stand if they can't be something. And there again, that shows just what, that's where they get their power. It's being able to try to bring someone else down. That's where they get their power. That's how they become big. But in reality, it shows how really small they are. You know, the opposite of that is rejoicing always. Giving thanks for all things. You know, it's so easy for us to have things we think go wrong, and we begin to look at how things are going and how bad we've got it, or how bad we've been treated, or how bad someone's treated us, or maybe our parents, you know, they pick on us more than anybody else, or the boss picks on us, and or whatever. And so we can begin to complain about that, and maybe just to ourselves. You know, we may say, oh yeah, whatever, but inside it just makes us boil. Because someone's picking on us a little bit. Someone's teasing us a little bit about our failures. We don't like that exposed. And so we, instead of giving thanks, being thankful and being gracious, we let that grow in us. We look for a way that we can rise up above and be more powerful than that person. We look for them to make a mistake, so we can just jump all over them because it makes me feel bigger. That's all that fluff. But it makes us smaller and smaller and smaller. But if we can truly get a hold of this, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. We're just here for a little while. And it doesn't matter what we go through. We can be a bigger man or a little one. And a lot of it hinges on our attitude. Rejoicing always. Doesn't matter what people are doing to us or saying things about us. Doesn't matter what we have to go through. If we can do that and still be rejoicing, honestly rejoicing, be honestly thankful for all things. You know, it may diminish all this fluff and it may just not be much there, but we're growing and we can be the bigger person. The measure of a man. You know, if there's a lot put on us, and it's hard and it's difficult, we can still rejoice. We can still be thankful. All we have to do is go through it. And going through it makes us bigger, makes us better. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. That's how we get bigger. We could put on a big show. We could seem to flex our power and make it seem like it's bigger and put someone else down and so we can feel better. But remember, one of these days, we're all going to see Satan. And we're going to say, we were afraid of that. We were impressed with that. We wanted that. The real measure of a man is what it's all going to be revealed on that day. And all that stuff that's impressing everybody now is going to be despised. But if we can be what we need to be. Be more like Jesus. Be more full of His Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Be more like that. And there might not be much fluff in this world. But if we add rejoicing and being thankful for all things, we can be a giant in the next world. And it's all about what kind of man or woman we are right now. It's not the one that looks tough that's tough. He's usually a sissy, usually scared. But it's the one that maybe don't look like that, but gets up and goes through whatever he has to go through. That's going to be the giant. Anyway, may the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless y'all. Part in peace.